the year I await for this evening. I wish to thank with all the sincerity of my heart Yash and Avanti and Vedant and Nirvan and Sloka, and to each and every one of you for coming to this very, very special and sacred abode. It was such a pleasing experience to see these children and very young adults who have acquired the blessing of various talents, and how they're, with gratitude, offering them as a devotional offering to Krishna through all of us. Krishna very much accepts the offerings that are presented to the devotees and what is uplifting to the people in general. Somehow or other, if an adult does something good, we expect it. But when a child does something really nice, we are mesmerized. So I thank the children for mesmerizing us so nicely this evening. And on the subject of children, I would like to speak about a very gifted child. May I? He was born a few years ago in the year 918 AD. That means just a little over a millennium back. He was born in the southern city of Madurai of India. And actually, Ramanujacharya, who was the disciple of this little boy, his disappearance day is coming this week. So it's a nice story to prepare our hearts. So much of what forms the character and the values of a child are the prayers and the example of parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And this story really gives that lesson to us. The grandfather, his name was Natamuni. He was a very, very great acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. In fact, he was a grihastha with family and children, but he was absorbed very deeply in the beautiful songs and poems of the Nam Alwar. And he wanted to share them with the whole world. What the great saints have given us, what God himself gives us when he descends into this world, we receive it so that we could share it. That is bhakti, reciprocation of love. So Natamuni's son was Ishwara Muni. And he and his good wife, whose name I haven't discovered at this point, they went on a pilgrimage to all holy places because they actually wanted to have a child, but they really wanted that child to be special. They wanted their child to be an offering for the upliftment and enlightenment of humanity. So to do that, with great humility, they traveled to many holy places. And one of those places, they went all the way up north to Vrindavan and Mathura. And it really moved them, especially 1,000 years ago. Vrindavan was a very, very simple forest place. There was no bazaars. There was no traffic. It was just quiet. And they found such blessings in the Yamuna River. In fact, the saints, the sadhus, the scriptures, they declare the Yamuna River to be the flowing of liquid prema. So when they returned to Madurai, a child was born. And to bless him, they named him after the river that captured their hearts, the river that Krishna eternally performs his leelas on the banks of. And his name was Yamuna. Such a blessing of the grandfather, the father, the mother. But when he was just a very tiny child, father departed from this world. So now it was a widowed mother who was taking care of him. And not the Muni. He was like a sadhu. He had nothing. So he lived a very simple life, struggling life. And when Yamuna was just 5 years old, he was sent to the school of a very materially poor but very devotional, pure-hearted teacher. His name was Bhasyacharya. And Bhasyacharya was teaching character, teaching philosophy, teaching culture, the culture of devotion and how it can be implemented in every aspect of one's life. Little Yamuna was so enthusiastic to learn that soon he became the favorite student. Could everyone hear? Thank you. So after some years, when Yamuna was 12 years old, living at the school of Bhasyacharya with just a few other students, something happened. What happened was a crisis that became a seed that would change the world forever. Let me tell you. In Madurai, there was a king, the king of the dynasty of Pandya. And this king was a great ruler, very powerful, he and his queen. There was a court pundit who was so dear to this king. He was so brilliant. He was literally a genius, especially with word jugglery and with philosophy and logic and grammatical complexities he could master. And in those days, the greatest sport in all of India was debate. More than cricket. More than soccer, football. In the West, more than baseball and football and basketball and hockey and all of them put together, they did not have the same popularity as debate. If you were a champion in debate, you were given the highest honors. In fact, because this person was the debate champion of all of India, infallible, undefeatable, the king gave him the highest honors and basically would do whatever he said. So the king made a law. Sometimes leaders make laws that don't make sense, but you have to follow them. The law was every scholar or pundit had to debate Kolahala. And if Kolahala defeats you, which he will 100%, then you have to pay tax to him every year. And if you do not give him your taxes, you will be severely punished by the head of state, the king. If year after year you don't pay your tax, death was the penalty. It's quite serious. It was quite an incentive to pay tax. So Vasyacharya, the teacher of Yamuna, was some years before totally defeated by Kolahala. But he didn't have enough money to pay tax. So 2 years went by and he still hadn't paid tax. Vasyacharya had some seva to be doing, so he had to leave the school for some days. And all the students, they all decided to just go home. Except Yamuna stayed. So while he was all alone in the school, the disciples of Kolahala came. Yamuna, he's a 12-year-old boy, very sweet, very humble, very respectful, very kind to everyone, so gracious. He received them with such nice hospitality, and these people were rude, harsh. They said, "Where is Vasyacharya?" The boy said, "Who are you? Please tell me. You know, I welcome you, but please tell me who you are." They said, "We are the disciples of the great Kolahala, who has defeated everyone. And because we have the greatest guru, that make us the greatest. And because your guru is inferior, you are inferior. And your guru, your teacher, has not paid tax in 2 years. We have come to collect the tax. He's an ignorant person, and he's going to pay severely unless he gives the money now. You tell me, where is he?" Now, Yamuna, he was very gentle by nature, very soft-spoken, but he couldn't tolerate what they were saying about his guru. So he very respectfully replied that any teacher who has a student who was so arrogant and proud and rude like you must be useless. Oh, they couldn't tolerate that. They said, "We're going to go back and tell the king." Little Yamuna, he said, "My guru, Vasyacharya, he does not want to waste his precious time debating against such a mundane, puffed-up person as your teacher. I am the least, the youngest and the least of all of his students, and today I formally challenge Kolahala to debate against me." They were shocked. They were speechless. Everywhere they went, people just out of fear, they paid taxes. And here's this little boy, 12 years old. He's making such a challenge. They said, okay, we're going to go give the message to the king. So they went back and they reported. Kolahala laughed. Who is this child? His mother's milk is still in his mouth. Who is this child? And the king, he sent a messenger. He sent a messenger back to the child that if you're challenging him, then we accept your challenge. Come. When the messenger arrived at the ashram, by that time, Bhāṣyācārya already heard what was going on. And he was so upset. What's going to happen to my beloved Yamuna, this boy? If he loses the debate, he might be killed because of what he said. So Yamuna said, why should I have any fear when I have your blessings and Lord Narayan's blessings? I will go. I have God on my side. He sent a message back to the king. He said, since Kolahala is such a respected, honored, great champion debater, if I'm going to be contesting against him, you should have a royal procession to bring me to your kingdom. So the king of Pandyas, he said, what he's saying is true. So he sent about 100 Brahmins and all sorts of, you know, decorated soldiers and a palanquin to bring him to Madurai, the kingdom. And as the little boy was coming, the news spread. Because as I said, debate was the sport of all sports. So the news spread everywhere. It was more sensational than the Super Bowl. Or anything else you could think, the World Cup. So all these people were coming to Madurai. A 12-year-old child is going to debate Kolahala? This is historical. This is unbelievable. We have to see this. And he's so bold. Many of the Brahmins who had already been humiliated and defeated and exploited by Kolahala, they were praying together. Just as the little boy Vamanadev defeated the great king Bali Maharaj, let Yamuna be victorious. So when he arrived, the king and queen were sitting on their thrones in the court where the debate was going to be. Kolahala was there with his disciples. All the people that didn't like Kolahala was there. And when the queen saw this little boy, she said to her husband, this boy is going to win. And the king, he thought, what kind of crazy things are you saying? The king said to the queen, just as a large cat plays with a tiny mouse, Kolahala is going to defeat and destroy this child. And the queen responded, just as a tiny little spark can burn a huge mountain of cloth to ashes, Yamuna is going to crush the pride of your Kolahala today. King could not believe what he was hearing. He said, if you're serious, we should make a wager, a bet. She said, I'm willing to do that. If Yamuna loses this debate, I will be the servant of the servant of your maidservant. Now that's quite a thing. So now he's challenged. He has to come up with something better. He said, all right, if Yamuna wins the debate, I vow I will give him half of my kingdom. So they're speaking this way. And meanwhile, Kolahala's listening. And then this little boy, he wasn't strong or anything. He was just a little boy. He just comes in and he's dressed really pious, you know, like a sadhu, a little Gurukul sadhu. And he comes being carried and he's getting off the palanquin and the queen's looking at him. And Kolahala sees him. Like, this is the person I'm supposed to debate. Because there's a certain pride that you only want to debate people who really have credibility. So Kolahala looked at Yamuna, and then he looked at the queen and smiled very sarcastically and said, Ala Bandara, which means this person is going to conquer me. Ala Bandara means the conqueror. And the queen looked at him and said, yes, Ala Bandara. Should I continue? The debate started. And first it was time for Kolahala to challenge Yamuna. And he started asking him questions. Sanskrit, grammatical, logical questions, which was usually the basis of debate, and with philosophical principles also. And they were progressively more challenging. And it went on for some time. And little Yamuna was taking shelter of the Lord. It wasn't that he was just a great scholar. He was taking shelter of the Lord. Sarvasya chaham ridishani vishtoma tasmitir gyanamapohanam cha. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I'm the source of knowledge. I'm the source of forgetfulness. I'm the source of everything. I'm the source of remembrance. So little Yamuna had complete faith because Abhaicharanaravindare, he was taking shelter of a higher power. So he was easily asking all the questions. And at a certain point, little Yamuna said, why are you asking me such easy questions? And they were actually difficult questions. And everyone was watching. And everybody in their hearts were really passionately, aggressively wanting their side to win. He said, are you asking me such easy questions because of my size? Well, if size is what determines how great a person is, then Kolahala, the water buffalo, is much greater than you. And Kolahala said, okay, then you start asking me questions. Yamuna, very respectfully, he said, you are a very great scholar. You have defeated everyone everywhere. With all honor and respect, I want you to defeat three propositions that I present to you. And if you can, you win. And if you can't, I win. Oh, Kolahala was so totally confident. He said, you ask, I give my word. He said, my first proposition, little Yamuna, my first proposition is I want you to defeat what I'm about to say. Your mother was not barren. Kolahala never got a question like that.
It's usually based on some kind of scripture or some logic. He was thinking, to defeat that my mother is not barren means my mother's barren, and if my mother's barren, then I would have never been born. So he didn't say anything, but he was really disturbed. Yamuna, he didn't demand an answer. He said, all right, let's go to the next question. Defeat this proposition that the king who is sitting right in our presence, the royal king, the great king, defeat this. Our king is a righteous and pious man. Kolahala was thinking, if I prove he's not a pious man, he's not a righteous man, he'll kill me. So he was silent. Yamuna said, all right, if you can just defeat this third proposition, then I will accept defeat. Otherwise, you must. By this time, Kolahala was really getting angry because he didn't have any answers. He said, prove me to be wrong. The queen of Pandya, who we are sitting in the august presence of, she is a chaste lady and a faithful wife to the king. Prove that I'm wrong. That's sure death. To even try. Kolahala heard that. He exploded with rage. He said, how dare you put me in a predicament of blaspheming the king and the queen? You are asking me to prove that the king is unrighteous, impious, and the wife is unchaste and unfaithful? If I do that, that's blasphemy. You should be killed for asking me such blasphemous questions. You disprove your three propositions. Otherwise, you should be put to death. That's the way it was in those days. The Brahmins and the people who... the students of Bhāṣyācārya, they were there, and they were saying, no, no, he doesn't have to prove anything. The king did not answer the questions, he loses. And the others were saying, no, this is blasphemy. There was a big argument going on. It was really loud. It was almost like a riot. The king and queen are watching. They were losing control of the whole situation. And little Yamuna was completely calm. Kolahala was outraged. He was furious. And Yamuna said, everyone be silent. I will happily disprove my propositions according to the scriptures, Shastra. In the Manu Samhita, it is said that a woman who only has one child is barren. And because you're the only child of your mother is barren according to Manu Samhita. And what about the second, that the king is righteous? He said, the king personally, this is what Yamuna said, he is the most righteous, the most pious, the most kind-hearted and dignified leader. But the Manu Samhita tells that one who takes the role of a king has to accept 1/6 of the karma of all the citizens. That means 1/6 of all the pious activities and 1/6 of all the impious activities. And because it is now Kali Yuga, there's more impious activities than pious activities. So though the king is personally very righteous, he's not righteous. because he's taking such a sacrifice of responsibility. Kolahala said, "You insulted the queen. How are you going to prove that she's not chaste?" He said, "According to the Manusmriti, the king represents 8 of the principal demigods, the devatas. Indra, Kuvera, Yama, Agni, Vayu, Surya, Chandra, all these devas. All 8 of these most prominent devatas are all present within the king. So although our queen who is sitting before us is the emblem of purity in every way, still, according to scripture, she has 9 husbands. So she's not totally faithful only to him." When little Yamuna said this, the queen, tears just burst from her eyes. She smiled ecstatically. She jumped up from her throne and she cried out, "Alabandara, Alabandara, Alabandara, you have conquered." And then the king, he was so blissful, he jumped off his throne and he came to little Yamuna and embraced him. He said, "You are victorious." He said, "Just like when the sun rises higher and higher and higher, all the stars become insignificant. And similarly, in your presence, even the great Kolahala has become nothing. Because he insulted you and insulted your teacher so ferociously, we will severely punish him. Plus, I will give you half my kingdom, happily." Yamuna said, "Kolahala's just confused. Please offer, let us offer him all kindness and respect. There should be no harm to him. But if you insist, I'll accept half the kingdom." So he was brought up in poverty. He lived at a simple little ashram, and now half of the kingdom of the Pandya dynasty belongs to him. And he's 12 years old. He's sitting on the throne, and there's all sorts of things he never did before. One thing that happened is some of the neighboring kingdoms, they wanted to take advantage. Here is a 12-year-old king who knows nothing about politics or military or anything like that. This is the time to invade and take all of the property and the resources. So they were planning their militaries. But little Yamuna, he was just depending on Krishna. He was depending on Lord Narayan for his intelligence and trying his best. And he sent some spies, and the spies found out, "These people are about to destroy you and take over everything." So when he heard that, he sent his armies, and he started defeating kingdom after kingdom after, only the ones that were in opposition and aggressive against him. And his kingdom was expanding to be bigger and bigger and bigger with more wealth and more power and more everything. And now he's treating all of his citizens with such kindness, like a father and to children. Everybody loved him. And in this way he ruled. When he was about 35 years old, his grandfather, Natamuni, was on his deathbed. Natamuni was a great saint. Even to this day, if you go to any of the temples in South India of the Sri Sampradaya and you ask about Natamuni, they study his books, they read his songs. Natamuni called his closest disciple, whose name was Ram Mishra, Ma Ram Mishra had a very pure, compassionate heart. Natha Muni said, I'm about to die. The only anxiety I have in my life is my grandson, Yamuna. He's completely materialistic. He's lost all the bhakti. He's lost all the devotion that he had in the past. When he was young, he was studying scriptures. He was chanting japa. He was doing yajnas. He was so devotional. Now he's just ruling state, and he's, because of the influence and the environment, he's succumbing to greed and to lust and to money and to power. This breaks my heart, because all these things of this world are so temporary, ever-changing, and can never give real fulfillment to the heart. It's only God's love that gives fulfillment to the heart. Please, my disciple Ram Mishra, save my grandson from being trapped in materialism. Ram Mishra vowed he would do everything within his power. That was the last wish of Natha Muni, and then he departed from this world. Several years went by. Ram Mishra was trying to figure out what to do, how to see a king. At this time, Yamuna was 35 years old. Ram Mishra went to Madurai where the palace was. When he came to the palace, Ram Mishra was a sannyasi, a penniless beggar swami. And he saw at the doorway to the palace, there was chariots, there was palanquins, there was crowds and crowds of kings from other provinces, soldiers, governors, extremely wealthy landholders. They were all waiting, sometimes for hours and days, to have audience with the king. And Ram Mishra, you know, who am I? I have nothing. I'm no one. I'll never get an audience. So he prayed to the Lord, give me intelligence. Ram Mishra was not only very learned, very devotional, but he also knew various sciences, including Ayurveda. So he happened to see, growing wild in a forest near the palace, was a leaf that was growing. It's called Tudu Balai. This Tudu Balai is something like spinach. And it has such pious properties. It's excellent for health, excellent for digestion, excellent for every aspect of health. And it also brings about soothing of the nervous system, peace of mind, and opens doors for the inclination for spiritual upliftment. So he went out and collected Tudu Balai and went. He couldn't get in to see the king. That was impossible. So he went to the back door of the kitchen and happened to meet the cook. And the cook was a very pious, religious man. He said, this Tudu Balai will be very good for the health and happiness of the king. And I have such honor and so much love for the king. I offer these leaves. Please cook them for him. And I pray that Lord Narayan will bless him in every way. The cook prepared this nice Tudu Balai sabji and offered it with so many other preparations. every single day for 2 full months, Ram Mishra would come to the back door of the kitchen with the supply of Tudubalai. And every day the king was getting it. And he really got attached to it. Ram Mishra, strategically, after 2 months, every day, he didn't come for one day. After lunch, the king called the cook and said, "Where's those spinach leaves you were giving me every day? They were so good. They were making me feel so nice." And he said, "Well, there's this sadhu, this poor Swami. Every day he was coming and bringing me these. He was collecting them personally. And every day he didn't charge anything." The king said he wasn't charging anything. He was going out to the forest and collecting. He wasn't asking anything in return. He said he was bringing them simply because he loves you so much and he wants you to be healthy and happy. He didn't come today. The king said, "Next time he comes, bring him here to meet me." The next day, Ram Mishra came with the leaves. And he was brought right to the king. And the king already had opened his heart because of his seva, because of his kindness. He said, "I'm so pleased with the leaves that you're bringing me, and you're a saintly person. Such blessings you have offered me. Please tell me." The king said, "How can I serve you?" Ram Mishra replied, "There's something I would like to tell you. I am a student of your grandfather, not the Muni, and he has left something for you. But I can only tell you about it if it's only you and me alone." So the king had such faith in him, he sent the cook and everyone else away. Ram Mishra said, "Natha Muni, your grandfather, had a tremendous treasure. And before he died, he made me promise that I would deliver that treasure to you. I want to take you to where it is." The king said, "An enormous treasure? You could have easily taken it yourself. I would have never known. You're such an honest person. I trust you. Where is it? Let's go. I will bring 4 phalanxes of my army with us." He said, "That's not appropriate. Not for this kind of treasure. It's really a great treasure. The two of us should go alone." Now, it just so happened that there was some conflict going with some other kingdoms, so the king really needed money then. So he said, "All right, I'm coming." So they left. They left Madurai early morning and walked for many hours. And when it became noontime, it was very hot. And they rested under a tree. And it was only the two of them. There was nothing for the king to do. And Ram Mishra began to recite Bhagavad Gita. As he was singing the beautiful verses of Bhagavad Gita, it was the first time in decades that Alabandara had heard the Gita. It was awakening his inner propensities. You see, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a beautiful verse. Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo nivedyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That in this path of devotion, there's never a loss. Any time, any progress we make, is there forever. It can be forgotten if we're distracted, but it's never lost. The samskaras, the spiritual propensities we have cultivated in previous lives and earlier in this life, they're all like investments just waiting for us. But if we forget our account, we have no access to it. We just need someone to remind us. So Ram Mishra was reciting Bhagavad Gita, and as he was reciting these beautiful verses of Krishna to Arjuna, Alabandhara, the great conqueror, the pious king, completely distracted from all his spiritual inclinations, he had nothing to do except listen. And as he was hearing, the seeds of his devotion, of his gyan, were sprouting, awakening. He was becoming more, with every verse, he was more immersed. And by the time Ram Mishra was reciting the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, describing the path of bhakti, Yamuna, he cried out that, I've been wasting my entire life. I have been completely absorbed in pursuing the perishable, dissatisfying, empty husk objects of this world. And I've completely neglected the Lord of my life. I've completely neglected the needs of my soul. Now, I just want to absorb myself in remembering Narayan, Krishna, and offer everything I have to Narayan and Krishna. Ram Mishra continued, and when he completed the entire Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters, the king said, I want to learn more. What can I do for you? Ram Mishra said, let's just stay here and not travel anywhere else for 1 week and be under this tree and let me explain the science, the culture, and the teachings of Bhagavad Gita to you. And for that whole week, throughout the day and night, the king was eagerly drinking in the nectar of Dharma. And after that week, King Yamuna, he said, I don't want the treasure that my grandfather left. I've had enough with all these material pleasures. I want to just give my kingdom back to the Pandyas. I just want to stay with you and be your student and worship the Lord Narayan. Ram Mishra said, I promised your grandfather that I would give you his treasure. Please come with me. This treasure is surrounded by 8 walls. It's between 2 rivers. There's a Rakshasa that comes from the south every 12 years to check to see if it's all right. And it could only be accessed through mantras. Come with me. I will bring you to where that treasure is. The treasure which was the only property of your grandfather, his life, his soul, his everything that he's giving to you. In that association, sadhu sangha, satsang, the king had such faith, he was transformed. Ram Mishra brought him to Srirangam. and brought him to the Ranganath temple. They passed through seven gates. Ranganath temple is between two tributaries of the Kaveri River. And Anantashesha is guarding him. He brought him before Lord Ranganath. And when Yamuna saw Ranganath, he became Yamunacharya. He understood the Supreme Lord is the supreme treasure of all treasures. Now, why is it we don't have that experience? Because yeyatam prapadyante tamsta daiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals himself to us according to how we take shelter, how we approach him. Because of the samskaras, the past devotional activities, the blessings of Basyacharya, Natha Muni, Ishwara Muni, the mothers, everyone, because of his early training, he had a deep propensity. But it was like a sun totally covered by a dark cloud. But by the association of a lover of God, Ram Mishra, who had the blessings of his guru, Natha Muni, Yamuna's heart became so eager for the treasure of Lord Narayan. I remember just a couple years ago, a very prominent person from Mumbai, he went to Tirupati temple. And whenever he goes, because he always gives large donations and everything, you know, one of the trustees of the temple always meets him and brings him right to the front. But this person told me that he went and just stood in the common people's line for like about 10 hours, just to see what it was like. And he said, the darshan was so much better because you don't take it for granted. You're just waiting and waiting and anticipating and longing and longing and longing for that moment to come. And when the moment comes, Krishna, I'm yours. Doesn't have to be that way. You can also be led in by a trustee, but you have to have that eagerness. Srila Rupa Goswami explains. Lolyam is the price of this love for God. The eagerness, the transcendental greed to surrender to the Lord, to be with the Lord. So walking to Sri Rangam in that wonderful association, by the time he came into the temple, he completely prostrated himself and surrendered his body, his mind, his words, his life to Ranganath. And he sent a message back that I'm giving half the kingdom back to the Pandya kings, and I'm giving half the kingdom to Ranganath to put in his name for his seva and for the seva of all people in his abode. And he became one of the greatest of all acharyas, of all saintly persons. He wrote so many books. Yamunacharya had many of the greatest saints as his disciples. And one of them was Ramanuja, he never actually met or spoke to Yamunacharya directly. But just by his blessings, his teachings, he surrendered his heart and his life to Yamunacharya. Physical association is not what it's necessarily about. Physical association or vapu can give us inspiration. But it's our willingness to serve the will and to receive the instructions and the blessings. That's the deep heart connection. And although Yamunacharya had so many great, great students who were leaders of the whole country as far as gurus, they all unanimously accepted Yamuna should be our leader. Because although he never even associated, he took the spirit of our guru so much to his heart. And just see, they weren't fighting over who's going to be the leader, which is what commonly happens these days. People are fighting and making politics and making, you know, adjustments and getting their followers of who's going to be the successor. Here in the Sri Sampradaya, which had tens and millions of followers even at that time, they're all saying, we all want to follow Ramanuja. And Ramanuja considered all of them his gurus. I just want to follow you. The debate was that you should be the leader. No, you should be the leader. All right, if you insist, I'll be the leader, but I'll lead by following you. And that's what was finally decided. Such a spiritual movement that is. When Lord Chaitanya was on his South Indian tour, he went to the Ranganath temple, which is actually the largest temple in all of India, even today. And he stayed 4 months there, chanting kirtan and dancing before Ranganath. So today, I was inspired to tell a story about a little child and how that little child who just believed in God, that little child who had no envy in his heart, who just loved to serve, that little child who had the blessings of great personalities, how he changed the world. And even 1,200 years afterwards, we still can't stop talking about him. Thank you very much. My beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he brought us the teachings of all of these great acharyas. It's interesting, Lord Chaitanya, he taught this principle of achintya bheda bheda tattva, and he took the essence from the teachings of Ramanuja, the teachings of Madhva, the teachings of Nimbarka, the teachings of Vishnu Swami, the Ballabha Pushti Marg is coming in the lineup, and he integrated all of them and presented this very universal spirit of pure love. And according to the Upanishads, iti sodasakam nam nam kalikalmasha nashanam, according to the Puranas, according to Itihastas, according to Srimad Bhagavat, this chanting of the holy names of the Lord is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The Bhagavatam tells Kalera Dosanide Rajanasti Heku Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Braje. At this age of Kali, there are so many challenges, so many distractions, so many faults that we have to deal with. In this ever-changing world, many things are just not within our control. But simply, sincerely, with a humble heart, taking shelter of God's names, and God has many names, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. and the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Iti sodasakam nam nam Kali kalmashanashanam. Which means in this age of Kali, where there are so many difficulties, so much irreligion, even in the name of religion, so much greed and envy that somehow has accumulated in our minds, there's a special medicine, a 32-syllable, 16-word mantra, which is declared to be the Mahamantra. And it is declared in the Upanishad, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And I remember, and I'm going to end with this, a few years ago we brought a few thousand people on a pilgrimage to Sri Rangam. Do you remember that? Krishna Chandra Prabhu Radha Priya Prabhu. And it was so special in honor of Srila Prabhupada. The guru of Sri Rangam, who was a GR sannyasi, and the descendants of Parasara Pater, who happens to be the successor of Ramanujacharya directly from 1,000 years ago, coming from the same family, and Venkatabhata, where Lord Chaitanya lived at his house for 4 months. The family relatives and successors who were the chief priests of the temple, they had such a beautiful, beautiful reception for us. And the GR, who was like the senior most spiritual leader of the whole Sri Rangam of the Sri Sampradaya, he was on the stage. They were honoring the devotees, and they each gave a lecture, and he specifically said, Ramanujacharya, in his writings, he expressed his desire and made the prediction that the holy names of the Supreme Bhagavan will be spread throughout the world, and Srila Prabhupada has done it. So it was very intimate, because when two different sampradayas have such appreciation for each other, if it one-sided, there's no rasa. There's no love if we just receive. But when our devotees were giving all love and appreciation, speaking the glories of Ramanujacharya, and they're speaking the glories of Lord Chaitanya, we just fell in love with each other. And it was just beautiful. And we were having kirtan together, and everyone was dancing, all these acharyas and pandas and pujaris and devotees. It was a family. So let us now have kirtan. Thank you, Yash and Avanti, and Vedant Nirvan Sloka, for giving us this beautiful opportunity in your wonderful home. Isn't this the most wonderful ambience to hear about Bhagavan Harikatha and to have kirtan? It's not just a material place. It's truly spiritually surcharged, and we feel it to be a holy place. Yatra tishtami nara, tatra tishtami nara, yatra gayante mad bhakta. Krishna tells, wherever my devotees are gathered together to hear my glories and chant my names, I am there. All the holy places in all the world are present wherever there is that devotion taking place. So I welcome you to Vrindavan and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri and Sri Rangam and Ayodhya and Naimasharanya and Badrinath and Kedarnath and Yamunotri and Jamunotri and Dwarka and Pandharpur and everywhere. We're there right now. And let us celebrate by singing this beautiful mantra. As I'm singing, please fold your hands and, with, in a very sincere, heartfelt way, feel the sound vibration of this mantra coming through your ears and bathing your hearts and awakening your soul. And then as you respond, raise your arms very high like this, and very loudly with great feeling. Share this mantra as an expression of your gratitude, your will to love, and your will to give peace and happiness to the world.
RG Media YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe.